So good evening. We're beginning Simin Memchas. Simin Memchas in the Halachos of Birchos HaShachar. So if you remember again, so we dealt last week or last couple of weeks with the Halachos concerning Birchas HaTorah. So look at Simin Memchas. So now he says we begin to say Parshas HaTamid. He's talking down this particular Parsha, in this particular Simin, excuse me. So the Shulchan Aruch is referring to Karbonos. So we recite Parshas HaTamid. So again, just to orient... Do they have Kabbalah?
Yeah, it has numbers in every single page. Mind your own.
I like that. So again, so if you'll notice, so again, on page 30 in the Siddur, so you have the whole section of Karbanos. So the Rama, actually this begins with the statement of the Rama says that you say Parshas HaTamid, which literally is the Parsha that refers to the Karban HaTamid, which is the daily sacrifice, one in the morning, thank you, one in the afternoon. So, and again, I want you to say the Seder Ma'arocha, which is the order again of the arrangement on the Mizbeach. If you can't say it, turn the page in just a moment, we'll come back. It's interesting enough. So the Rama writes that halacha lemaisa, you're supposed to go ahead and say this betzibor, but if you can't say their karbanos betzibor, you could go and you could say it at home. Now, what's happening with these karbanos? Go back to page one for just a moment. Let's analyze this a little.
Amen.
Good. Right from Mishnah Berurah. Sif Aleph. He says, "Was that the Shivas?
That
you gave me the Shivas?
You know, I started from because I wasn't.
I mean, whatever, it's fine. Hey, Mamish.
Matt told me I shouldn't drink any of this
blood. He gave me the Shivas. All right.
I'm good.
So. All right, fine, a little. Very
little. 12-year-old.
See, he says the following. See, he says, look at the Tamid. So, by Sif Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, why do we say the Parshas HaTamid? Vihi bimkom hakravas karban HaTamid. The reason we say Karbanos is because the recitation of Karbanos is what we have in the absence of actual Karbanos. He says, Shekin kiblu chazal, I mean, Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Aleph on page 1, because chazal understood, Shevizman shein beis hamikdash kayum, ve'en yecholden lahakrif karbanos, because during times when there's no beis hamikdash and you can't bring karbanos, mi sha'osek bahen ubaparshiyosehen, ma'ala alav hakasav kilu hikribu. So what says is absolutely amazing, that in halach lamais, in the absence of the ability to bring karbanos, the next best thing is the actual recitation of the parshios. That if you say the parshios of karbanos, the Gemara says it's as if you went ahead and actually offered up the karbanos. Like, actually, interesting. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from David HaMelech, on the shama parim svasenu, that literally in the shama part we will make up for the cows with our lips, which David HaMelech was saying, alluding to this idea that in the absence of the ability to actually offer up karbanos, so by reciting the parshas or karbanos, there's a quasi-kium that is affected by that. He says, L'chei ulekach, yesh omrim gam seder ma'arocha, mitam zeh, v'hu mashnitz pashet haminog b'yameinu lomar b'chol yom abayi hava misader. So you have this over here in the karbanos as well, but that's why you have all of these different things. You have, let's say, the parsha of the kior, right? You have the abayi hava misader, say ultimately the arranging of the pyre on top of the Mizbech, all the different the Truma Sadeshen, all the different aspects that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, we actually have all of these parshios here in the beginning of the Siddur. And the logic behind it is because if you have the inability to bring the Karbanos, as unfortunately we don't have the ability today, but Allah Chalamai, so the next best thing is the recitation of these parshios. See,
why with a minion? Why is he saying that with a minion?
Oh, because these karbanos, karban is a din in Sibor, is a din in Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, again, the recitation of the karbanos is a din that's going to happen in the Beis HaKnesses. So he says, V'nirli Pashut, listen to this. It would appear to me to be obvious. To Mishi Odea Sefer, somebody who knows how to learn, Mitzvah Lilmod Begimara Perish Hamem Rahazel. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that, however, when it comes to karbanos, it's not enough just to simply say them. If possible, one should what? One should really understand what it is that they're saying. You know, we'll say we don't appreciate what we have today. That, you know, we have an art scroll sitter. You could just see the English right here. You know, here the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're not to learn Gemara, you can go back to the Gemara. You can see what the sugya means. Then good. So. But again, Rabbi, you think it goes without saying that you should understand what you're saying. But of course, we also know very well that very often we don't understand what we're saying. And even if we could translate the words, it doesn't necessarily mean that we actually know what's going on. So he says, specifically when it comes to karbanos, if the idea that the recitation is supposed to be in lieu of the actual akrav, the actual offering, it's important to understand at least the perish hamilo. So at least the understanding, the translation of the words. He says, when the Gemara says whoever is involved in the parasha of Ola, the idea is that whoever really strives to understand what it means. It's not enough just to say the words. You actually have to understand what it is that you're saying. In reality, when you recite the karbanos, you should say them standing up. Dugmas hakarbanos shahaya ba'amida. And similar to the fact that what? That karbanos were said standing up. Karbanos were offered standing up. The ayin b'shari tshuva, b'shem kama achronos shecholkin al zeh. Others disagree with this. Obeprima gadim, turn the page 2 in the Mishnah Berurah. Obeprima gadim. So this is very interesting. So at least, and this is the minhag today, even if you're going to sit for the rest of karbanos, you should at least stand up when you say the parsha of the tamid. The tamid, remember, is the communal sacrifice. One in the morning, one in the evening. Because apparently, the way it used to happen is they would recite this particular parsha out loud in the tzibor. Out loud in the seaboard. Gam mashikasav bebe'er hetiv b'shem derech chachma sheizoher lomar parashas atamid b'tziborim shatz ayin b'shar chufayn kasav v'prima gadim mashikasav b'sidur menusach hayiratzen kidokal v'kamar atamid. Alright, so we could skip the rest. So we'll say what comes out from this, obviously something very important, which is the need to recite karbanos. I would even go so far to say that halacha lemaisa, if a person is running short on time and a person has a choice between psuke de zimra and karbanos, it's kedai to do karbanos. Because psuke de zimra are preparatory. It's good, it gets you in, but karbanos literally is a kiyum. Again, we don't understand the gift with karbanos. It's literally a gift. It means that every single morning when you get up, so you could go ahead, now when you come to shul, if you say parshas ha-tamid, it's as if you offered the karban tamid. You say parshas ha-ketoros, besides the fact that parshas ha-ketoros is also an incredible school for parnasa. Right? If you say parshas ha-ketoros, it's as if you offered the ketoros. You go through ezehu makoman, it's as if, you know, just to understand, it could be that somebody is chai v'chatos. It could be, right? I mean, what they say, the Chafetz Chaim used to keep a ledger in which he kept track of how many karbanos he was chayiv for, so that when the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, he would know exactly what he had to bring, when he had to bring it. So the truth is, it's possible that I'm chayiv v'chatos. Why? Because the truth is, if there was a time that I inadvertently violated Shabbos, right, without either realizing, I didn't realize what I was doing was wrong, I didn't realize it was Shabbos, I didn't know, whatever it was, I'm chai b'chatos. You know that by saying the parsha of chatos, and ezehu mekoman, I'm being makriv, a karban chatos, I'm being makriv, a shlomim, I'm being makriv, all these different karbanos. And on Shabbos, we'll see when you say the psukim of Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, or on Rosh Chodesh, again, so we'll say, it's a major, major thing. I'm not sure why it's become so neglected over the ages.
Well, why not? First of all, I was going to ask, not every shul says it, right? And then you have in the media, you have Salach Lanu.
Right, there's asking for forgiveness, but the beauty of the karbanos is that literally saying it, it represents a quasi-offering of those very karbanos. So asking for forgiveness is different than actually offering up the karban of forgiveness. Right. Two different things. You know, again, why it's become relegated to a second tier, I think it's like a lot of things in our Judaism. It's that, you know, we lead very hectic and fast-paced lives. And the truth is, I mean, look, let's be honest, it's an incredible accomplishment if you're able to stay, you know, to like the second Ashrei, you know, that's mamish. I'm just saying, it's just the reality of our lives. Everybody's pulled in a million different directions, and so everybody's running everywhere. So the truth is, you know, karbanos, maybe you'll get in on Shabbos. Shabbos, and you can't do it on Shabbos because nobody wants davening to go too long on Shabbos. So it's not, you know, so there's never a good time. But the point is over here is you see the Shulchan Aruch is saying that the godless of Karbanos, literally, when you save Karbanos, it's as if you're being makriv Karbanos. It's almost like it's crazy not to do it.
Two questions. Did we say then that you should be saying with the minyan?
So you should be saying it b'tzibur. Now b'tzibur doesn't have to mean with the minyan.
Yeah.
B'tzibur just means better to say it in shul. In the presence of the tzibur.
We didn't say last week, because last week we didn't say you could say karbanos when you get up in the morning.
No, you can't. Actually, we said it 2 minutes also. I'm saying the Mishnah, the Ramah says if you can't say it in shul, you can say it at home.
Time-wise.
Yeah, correct. If you have a circumstance or for whatever reason you can't say it in shul, and your choice is to say it at home.
And the other question is, based on what we just learned, is it more kedai to read it in English, or you have to read it in Hebrew just to understand everything you're saying?
I'll tell you like this. I'm a shtickle traditionalist when it comes to these things, and I believe that there's an incredible koach in Lashon HaKodesh. I think that there's a koach in Lashon HaKodesh that can't be matched. So what I would say is it better for a person just to take the time, say it in Hebrew, and then look at the English translation right next to it. You know, Baruch Hashem, it's not like we don't have a challenge with these things. And if it's easier, you know, if you use like the best thing for this type of stuff, if that's what you want, is the Mitsuda Siddur. Right? Because the interlinear one is a little bit confusing because, remember, Hebrew doesn't translate directly into English. You have to rearrange words. So I like doubting from the interlinear because it causes you to slow down and you have to look at each word. But if you're looking for phrases, it's very difficult. But the beautiful part of that about the Mitsuda is that the Mitsuda literally breaks it down by phrase. I happen to have a couple for sale if you want to see me after this year. Right? So if you know you have a couple of phrases that, but whatever works for a person. But I don't know. I think especially with Karbanos saying it in Lashon HaKodesh, I think that there's a koach in that. So we'll say again. So this is like again. I don't know. There must be a societal reason why it's been relegated to a second tier status. But I just want to point out for you, many people often wonder like what all these pages are on the sitter. All right, page 30. Karbanos begins with page 30. Truth is, you know, let's take a quick look at it. You know, take a sitter for just a moment. Let's just do a quick look through of Karbanos.
Here. No, I can have
any. Somebody help out Moshe.
It's a new guy.
All right. So you see exactly what it is that's happening over here. So again, I'm in this sitter. Everybody will find their own pages, but it's page 30. It's the big section that starts Karbanos. So you see the flow over here. You have the parasha of the kiyor. The parasha of the kiyor is the parasha of the labor of the laver of the sink. This represents the idea. The parasha talks about the idea that the kohanim went ahead and washed their hands and their feet before they started the avodah. So again, like the Ishbitzer brings down this idea that we say this parasha also to consecrate ourselves for the service of the Ribono Shel Olam. After that, Shulchan Sadeshen, the taking out of the ash, whatever is left over. After that, you have the Karban HaTamid. So we'll say, not all of these are, after we go through them, I'll show you what's more important. They're all important, but obviously if a person has limited time, what they should say. After that is Karban HaTamid. This is the daily communal sacrifice. It happens twice a day. Once in the morning, once in the evening. After that is Kitores, which is incense. After that is Pitum HaKitores. Right, Pitum HaKitores. So again, this is the parasha. You can see over here, it's quoted from Krisos and Yushami, all about the Kitores. After that, you have the Gemara in Yuma, which is Abaye Hava Mesader Seder HaMaracha Mishmei de Gemara. See here, Abaye would go ahead and Abaye went through the entire order of the morning, what happened the entire morning. And then from there, you have the two supplemental paragraphs for Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and then you get into the Mishnah and Zvachim, which is Ezum HaKolman, which goes through all of the different Karbanos, the Kodshei Kadoshim, Kodshei Kalim. That's all of Karbanos. So it's a pretty significant amount of reading. So what's the most important? Hands down, the most important out of all these is the Parashas HaTamid. That's what Chazal seemed to say. The Parashah of the Tamid, which again, going back, was pretty much your third thing in. After, I'd say you have the Kiyor, right? Kiyor, Trumas HaDeshen, and then Parashas HaTamid. That's communal offering. Again, you know, if you ask me in terms of what it is that a person should try to at least hit, if possible, would be the Kiyor, first thing, Parshas HaTamid, next after that, Parshas HaKitores, but only the first part of Parshas HaKitores, because Pitum HaKitores is kind of long. So, just the first paragraph of Kitores, and then from there to Ezum HaKolman. And like that, a person really, obviously, if you could do the rest of it, then do the rest of it. But if a person is able to go ahead and recite those particular karbanos, I'm just saying, it's like low-lying fruit. It's low-lying fruit that a person really has the ability to be makriv karbanos, we're going to say. What?
I said low-hanging fruit, that's fine.
What did I say?
Low-hanging fruit, sorry.
Low-hanging...
The
paragraph after this, V'ayomer Hashem el Moshe, that ends L'doro Seichem. That paragraph. That paragraph, correct.
And the Rabbi Shmuel Omer is not...
No, Rabbi Shmuel Omer is... I'm sorry, is Mishnayis. Right, Rabbi Shmuel Omer is there, just so you understand, so that way in the beginning of davening, you've already had your Torah, Medrash, and Mishnah. So you've had Chumash, Medrash, Mishnah, or really, it's really Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer is Gemara, interestingly enough. The Ezer Mekomon is Mishnah, right? And Rabbi Shmuel is, so that's not part of Karbanos.
So the Ketoret is not the Atahu.
No, that's Ketoret has an introductory tefillah. Okay. That's just like the Parashas HaTamid has these Yiratzon before it. Tamid has this Ato Hashem Elokeinu. So we'll say again, it's Kedai only because it's crazy not to. It's crazy not to. We have this incredible opportunity to be makriv karbanos. Who wouldn't want that? Okay, so back to the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll say, I want to say something very interesting about. I'm now on page 2. On page 2, second line in the top. Now remember, this is all the Ramo. So this is really fascinating. The Ramo writes, "V'na'agu ha-medaktikim lehisno'eya b'sha'a shekorn b'torah." Those who are medaktik, those who are meticulous with mitzvos, listen to how fascinating this is, have a custom, or are nohek lehisno'eya. You know what lehisno'eya means? To shuckle. To shuckle. They both say, we're going to learn about shuckling. Shuckling has a makar. As a makar, so those who are medaktik, who are meticulous to shuckle, dugmas haTorah shenitna berseis. So berseis. So what happened? Why do we shuckle? Because I will say, when the Torah was given in a state of fear and trepidation, there was awe. What happens when a person is fearful and in a state of trepidation? They shake. They shake. Right. So ultimately, I'm sorry, but shuckling is a derivation of shaking. It's a more full body shake. Because when you shuckle, mamish, like, I've seen you shuckle. So, you shuckle. So shit quaking could even be just a small contained action. It's his idea.
That, again,
convulsive. Those people might actually be. he's not getting into the sheer of shuckling, right? But he's just talking about. It's just interesting to see, because I often wonder to ourselves, like, where did that practice ever come from? Because it looks weird. I mean, if you ever, like, the idea of like moving your body back and forth. The truth is, I always assumed that it was based. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem." Right, all of my bones should proclaim Kol Shpar Hu. Like, so that David is to be a full body experience. But the idea of swaying, and we have all these different motions, and
not to get too 820 daf here, but there's a concept of kinetic meditation. There's a certain repetitive motion that helps people meditate.
Interesting.
It's like a meditative concept called
That must have come from shuckling.
Bipashtos
we added first.
Bipashtos. And there's a
right. What is it called? Kinetic meditation.
Kinetic.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that also sort of your emotions here? Kind of like the love and the fear. You're drawn close and you're back.
Interesting. Like the coming in and the coming out. Huh, interesting. I hear it could be. I'm sure. I didn't look into it, but I'm sure there's much Kabbalah. That's a Rosh Hashiva shuckle.
Just to make sure you get Mishra.
Yeah, that's not. We don't shuckle like that. That's for Anoshim Chashuvim. But I suppose it's just interesting that the notion itself is actually rooted. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's really for Rosh Yeshiva and like Anoshim Chashuvim. That's not. We do simple shuckles. Usually, you have to have a frock. I'm saying it's kedai to have some kind of long coat for that. But I don't know. I wouldn't venture into those areas. Yeah, don't try that at home. So look what he writes. He says, "Salesi l'nevishah shikar b'Torah." Now here's what's interesting. Now remember, when the Ramah quotes it, the Ramah actually has it shuckling at the time that you're reading the Torah. So that's really where he has shuckling in. Says, because dugmas by toshnes barosis. So again, that the idea. I will say this theme we see often: the concept of recreating the Sinaitic revelation. This concept we see. That's why, for example, those who have the minhag to stand for, and I say minhag because it's not mikra, then it's not halacha. But those who stand up for kriyas Torah, the logic behind that is that since the Sinaitic revelation took place ba'amida, you're recreating the revelation. So that I'm also saying the idea of shuckling is also recreating the revelation. The chen b'shar shem espalalim al shem kol atzmosai tamar Hashem mikamocha. So he quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. So now we extended this practice from laning into davening as well. Al the pasuk of all of my bones will proclaim Hashem who is like you. So let's see the Mishnah Berura. Mishnah Berura hey b'shar shem espalalim. He says v'yish poskim shecholkin al zeh. There are some who disagree with this, and they say va'omrim debetfila ein lehisnanea. Others disagree, and they say no, you should not shuckle, you should not move during davening. Rak bepsuke dezimra, ubebirchas kriyashma, v'limor haTorah afilu shebape haminach lehisnanea. This is interesting. I'll say so. Some hold that by tefillah, when he says tefillah, what he means is Shemona Esrei. Right, because if you look, the lashon is, if you look at the Rambam actually really borrowed lashon from the Gemara, that when you daven Shemona Esrei, it's supposed to be ka'omed lifnei hamelech. Right? Now the truth is, right, unless like you're exceptionally yeshivish, if you're going to see like a melech, president, mamish, you don't do that. In fact, again, that would be plainly disrespectful. So the Rambam writes, I think the Gemara says that when tefillah Shemona Esrei is ka'omed lifnei hamelech. Ka'omed lifnei hamelech means rigid. Kodem Melech means standing straight. So therefore, some want to suggest that you can't shuckle during Shema. So you want to shuckle during Shema, Birchas Kriya Shema, shuckle during when you learn, shuckle when, sounds like a song, right? You can genetically meditate. That's fine. Because I'm going to have, I'm sorry.
Moshe never shuckled.
Never shuckled, really.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Never shuckle during davening. Never shuckle.
No,
stop.
Shemona Esrei. During Shemona Esrei. Yeah.
I watched him.
Who did you think he was talking about? Moshe Schwartz.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe Rabbeinu. I thought he said Moshe Schwartz. All right, Moshe Schwartz. Never. All right. So he says the following. He says the Kasa Magen Avram. Udo Ovid Kimar Ovid. So look what he writes. This is very fast. So what do? So you have the Ramah telling you that you could shuckle all you want. Shuckle whenever you want, how often you want, as fast as you want. You have again now the Mishnah Berurah quoting these poskim who say that no, Yedavka shouldn't shuckle during Shemona Esrei, because again it actually runs counter to the Shemona Esrei experience. The Magen Avraham says, you know what? Do whatever you want. Meaning, this is one of those things in halacha. Even exactly, whatever you're going to do, someone holds like you. Now look what he writes. However, v'hakol lefi mashehu adam. But everything should be in line with the kind of person you are. Im mechaven heitev ayedei tnua yisnanea v'im lav yamod kach. So he writes over here, you know what? Whatever is going to help you in your kavana, that's what you should do. But look what he writes on both sides. He says, this is actually what we just said before. He says, "Uktsas misna'anim tenua mishubeshes." There are some people that shuckle wrong. Shuckle wrong. So there is a concept of wrongful shuckling. Wrongful shuckling, he says. So listen to this. What did you describe before? Shahaguf omid al amdo, rak berosh hofech pam liyamim. Upam the small derech gaiva. So what's wrong for shuckling? Where the body's straight, like a Stevie Wonder. You know, like your mom is like, you're going side to side. You're going side to side. So he says you can't do that. That's derech gaiva. That's arrogant. Ein lasos kein. That's interesting, right? Good. So his idea again. However, they're gauging it. It sounds a bit strange to us because I don't know what the guy in it. But all right, he's saying that the idea is if a person wants to put their whole. So what we have over here essentially is the following machlokis of really the fundamental machlokis. I know it sounds strange, but all of this is how you frame the tefillah experience. So you have on one hand saying that you could shuckle because the logic there is if shuckling helps your kavana, whether it's the kinetic meditation, whatever it is, if that helps you, then go for it. But you have other folks that say no, that when you daven, when you have tefillah has to be an objective display of kavod. And the objective to say, covered to the king is you stand straight, you stand still. And even if you think you have better kavana, if you shuckle, it doesn't matter. So how do we pass mug and have rum? Whatever you want. Whatever is going to work for you, as long as what you're doing is going to intensify your kavana.
But on the other hand, there's also the concept of
concept of I don't know if that if or whatever, because if you're doing something that's disruptive, because now, let's say it helps you, you got into the habit of doing all sorts of movements. But if the rest of the tzibur is distracted by
it, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with davening out loud. You know, meaning some people find davening out loud is helpful for their kavanah, which it is. But if my davening out loud disturbs someone else, then I'll do it. Although I'll tell you something interesting. Well, let's just really. He says he's well. He ain't last oskin. You shouldn't do it. So I'll tell you. You know, they say about Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev, that when he would start davening Shmona Esrei, he would end up in the opposite corner by the time the Shmona Esrei was over. Such a his love was, and such an incredible. So again, you should know that the story is told that many of the other rebbes never wanted to daven with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak because they felt he was very disruptive. He felt that his model of tefillah was very disruptive. But for the rebbe, that's what worked. Okay. So also, what comes out is this you sort of shut. I'm sorry?
He had a long
class. He could do whatever he wants. He's a rabbi. So I will say again, Saluch Lameis, what comes out is just interesting to see that the notion of, or the concept of, shuckling does trace itself again to the Sinaitic revelation. Let's just do one more halacha, then we'll stop for tonight. He says in halacha Aleph, B'Shabbos Omrim Eitzel Parshas, Tam Psuke Musaf T'Shabbos, Avalo Berosh Chodesh, B'Yom Tov Mipnei Shekorn B'Tor B'Psuke Musaf. So the Mechaber says that on Shabbos, we say psukim of the Karbanos of Shabbos. You saw that in your Siddur, right before Ezu Mekoman. You have that shaded paragraph that has the additional psukim of the Karban of Shabbos. But the Mechaber writes, we don't say any additional Karbanos on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. Why? Because the Karbanos of Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh are included in the Kriyas HaTorah. So we're already making mention of the Karbanos in Kriyas HaTorah. Therefore, there's no need. That essentially satisfies our Karbanos idea. And therefore, there's no need to recite it again.
Shabbos, we're doing it in Shmona Esrei also.
Oh, so look, he says, V'yesh Omrim, says the Ramah, V'yesh Omrim, he says, Yesh Omrim, Yesh Omrim, Shemaskirin Gam Musaf Rosh Chodesh, V'cheinoagin Kedei Lefarsim Shu Rosh Chodesh V'einu L'kamar. So Ramah says, our minog is that we also say the Psukim of the Karban of Rosh Chodesh in Karbanos as well, in order to be Mefars, in order to publicize the fact that it indeed is Rosh Chodesh. So Ramah said, L'maisa, we end up saying additional Karbanos pretty much for every day except for Yom Tov. And the only reason for Yom Tov is because it's part of the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Tov, right? And that, in fact, is what the Mishnah Berurah says in paragraph Vav, in Sif Vav. He says, G'day Lefarsim, Aval Yom Tov, Ein Tzrichin Lefarsim. You don't have to publicize that it's Yom Tov. Why? Shekvarhu Mefursam Esmo. Because remember, it was already Yom Tov when? Last night. Aval Shabbos, Aval Pishu Mefursam, Omrim Osa B'Shachris, Shari Ein Yecholim Likros B'Torah V'Neisha Ein Ba'al Shnei Pesukim Moshe Yisbayar. But apparently on Shabbos, even though we're going to recite it in Musaf, since you can't go ahead and recite it in Kriyas Torah, why can't you recite it in Kriyas Torah? Because it's only two Pesukim. You can't read an Aliyah that's less than what? It's less than three. Therefore Shabbos we build in to the Tfilos of the Karbanos at the beginning of Davening. Alright, we'll stop over here for today.